Unit 5. Note completion and true or false. Listening activity number 9. You're going to hear a dialogue between two friends. As you listen, fill the missing words in the notes below and then indicate whether the following statements are true or false. Now listen to the conversation.
Hi, Linda. Did you have a nice holiday?
Yes. I went to visit my Aunt Kathy in Chase Village for a week.
Oh, you went to Chase Village. I know the place. My sister lives there. How is the traffic there?
Not too bad. Why do you ask about the traffic?
You know, I went to the village 3 years ago. There was a lot of traffic in Chase Village. People drove too fast. I had a very serious accident on Newland Street. I was afraid to drive there, so I always try to avoid that road whenever I visit my sister.
Things are changing now. You know, people put on the brakes and slow down on Newland Street because they can see a police car there with a police officer in it.
Oh, it's good to have a policeman there, because there were many accidents that happened on that road. But the police officer wouldn't be there all the time, so some people wouldn't be too careful about the police. Sometimes they just took a risk.
You know, a police officer has been working on that road 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for about 2.5 years now.
Oh, how can a policeman do that without any break?
No break at all.
How much does he get paid for the overtime?
In fact, he doesn't get any pay at all.
What is his name? He must be a volunteer there. But I can't believe it.
His name is Officer Springer. The police department put him to work there.
What do you mean? Why did the police department put him there?
In fact, he isn't a real man. He's a mannequin. Before he was put there, people broke into 16 cars in 2 months in the village. When the police department put Officer Springer on that road, there were no more break-ins in that area.
I'm glad to hear it. I think the police department should put more mannequins on other roads which often cause accidents.
It's a good idea. You know, the crime rate in Chase Village is very low compared to the neighbouring village.
So the most important effect Officer Springearth has is reducing the crime rate.
Exactly.
I'll go to visit my sister next month, so I'll try that road again.
Yes, please do. You'll see the changes.
Listening activity number 10. You're going to hear some advice from a British program advisor. As you listen, fill in the gaps with the relevant words in the notes below and answer the questions.
When you first arrive in Britain, you will be given the name and telephone extension number of the officer who will be administering your program. It will be helpful if you make a note in your diary of this information, and also if you make an appointment in advance by telephone whenever you want to see your program officer. If your base is to be outside London, you will be given instructions about reaching your destination. Please follow these carefully, and again, keep a note of them in your diary. You should never carry large sums of cash, of whatever currency, on your person. If you bring money to Britain, you should deposit it in a bank at the earliest opportunity, or have it converted into traveller's cheques and put any other valuables in a safe place. Be on the lookout for pickpockets, especially in crowded streets and at underground stations. Carry valuables in an inside pocket or a firmly closed handbag. Never leave a jacket, bag, or case lying about unattended in public places such as shops, restaurants, buses, or trains. Hotels and hostels usually display a notice disclaiming responsibility for the loss of money and valuables that are left in rooms. It is in your interest to leave valuables and large amounts of currency with the hotel or hostel management and obtain a receipt for deposited items. As in many other countries, there are various systems of shopping, and for your own peace of mind, you should be quite sure you understand the system of payment when making your purchases. The following notes may be helpful. If the shop provides baskets or trolleys, put your purchases in them, never in your own pockets or shopping bag. They will be taken out of the basket by the cashier at the pay point, and once you have paid for them, they can go into your own shopping bag. It is always wise to use the shopping basket, even if you are buying only a few items. Baskets and trolleys are likely to be found in the larger food shops. This system is less likely to apply if you are buying clothing, and in this case, you may have to take your purchases or to ask a shop assistant, but you should still never put anything into your own pockets or bag until it has been paid for. Always try to obtain a receipt for your purchases. Some shops do not provide these as a matter of course, but it does no harm to insist.
Listening activity number 11. You will hear an interview between a reporter and an officer from the British Council. As you listen, fill in the gaps and answer the following questions.
In recent years, more and more foreign students have been coming to the UK to study. But when they first arrive, many students are unsure of the formalities they have to follow and even where to go for help. So we have Alan McLean from the British Council here today to offer some advice. Alan, first of all, where do overseas students get help when they have problems at college?
Well, the Welfare Office of the Student Union can provide students with information and advice on all aspects of college life and living in the UK. The college will also have a counsellor for overseas students who will specifically look after the interest of foreign students. They can also put you in touch with overseas students' societies and organisations, which are often run by overseas students. So, as you can see, there's quite an extensive support service for the students, and new arrivals shouldn't feel they have to tackle problems alone.
Indeed. So what formalities should students coming from abroad complete upon first arriving?
One important thing is to register with the police. The stamp, which will have been put in the student passport by the immigration officer, indicates whether or not they are required to register with the police. If you are from the European Community or the Commonwealth, or if you intend to stay in the United Kingdom for less than 6 months, you should not have to register with the police.
So not all overseas students have to register with the police, but if you are not from an EEC or Commonwealth country, presumably you must register.
That's right. If you are required to register with the police, you must do so within 7 days of arrival in Britain. You must also inform the police every time you change your address while you are in the United Kingdom.
And what do you have to bring for registration?
You will need to take your passport, of course, and 2 passport-size photographs of yourself. If you are living in London, you should go to 10 Lambs Conduit Street, London WC1. It opens 9 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. Monday to Friday. In other parts of the country, you should go to the nearest police station for advice on where to register. There is a charge of £25 for registration.
I see. So your passport, 2 passport-sized photos and £25.
Mm-hmm. Another important thing is that holders of student visas aren't usually entitled to claim state benefit or to work. Attempting to do so may affect your right to stay in the United Kingdom. You might be prosecuted and fined about £500. It will say on your visa whether you are entitled to get a job in the UK or not.
So that's something non-resident students should be aware of. Working in Britain without permission is a criminal offence. But if they are entitled to get a job in the UK, how do they go about finding one?
If you are allowed to work, you'll need to get forms OW1 and OW5. These can be picked up at any job centre, where work permits for overseas students can now be issued. The OW1 form is filled out by your prospective employer and returned to the job centre along with your passport and a letter from your college, indicating that the employment will not interfere with your studies. If you are looking for work experience or practical learning, you must get forms OW21 and OW22 from the Work Experience section of the Department of Employment. You'll be asked for proof of the purpose and intended length of stay here, and that you are going to return to your native country.
Well, I hope that will answer a few questions for overseas students. Thank you very much for coming in, Alan.
Listening activity number 12. You're going to listen to a talk about the student union. As you listen, fill in the gaps and answer the following questions.
Now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the student union in this college. All full-time students automatically belong to the student union and have voting and membership rights, which means you can vote in union meetings and in election for the student offices. Part-time students also have access to what the union has to offer. Further details of this are available from the student union offices. The union is affiliated to the National Union of Students, NUS, which represents students on a nationwide level. Through the student union and its parent body, students can take advantage of reduced price travel facilities, Ensley Insurance, the main student insurance company, and a wide range of reductions on consumer goods through the student discount card. The social committee of the student union organises dances and other entertainments, including the Folk Club, Womb Cinema, and the Third Eye, which caters for a more developed taste in music, theatre, art and poetry. The student union also finances over 20 clubs and societies for a wide range of interests. You can get details of these from the student union offices.
Listening activity number 13. You are going to hear a conversation between a student and an accommodation officer. As you listen, fill the missing information in the notes below and then indicate whether the following statements are true or false. Now listen to the conversation.
Janet has just come down to London for the day. In September, she will be studying at university, and she needs to find somewhere to live. Janet goes to an accommodation agency, which she knows is offering free advice.
Hello, can I help you?
Yes, I'm soon to be studying here in London, and I need to find somewhere to live.
Okay, have a seat and I will look through some places with you. What type of accommodation are you looking for?
Well, obviously, I need somewhere quite cheap. But I don't really know much about the kind of places which are available. Perhaps you can tell me about some.
Right, I'll start with self-contained flats. Now, these are the most expensive option out of the list I have here. You'll usually have to sign a tenancy agreement of some sort and pay a deposit and 1 month's advance rent. Although the flats are expensive, you'll find you have your freedom to do what you want.
Are there any other kinds of place?
Well, let's see. If you still want your freedom, you could try bedsitters. With this, you would have to share the kitchen and bathroom.
Aren't there any places where I could get meals?
There are lodgings. Here you will receive breakfast and sometimes half board. That is breakfast and evening meal. You would usually pay your rent weekly to a landlord who lives on the premises. Lodgings are usually more expensive than bedsitters as you receive a meal. There are also hostels, which are very similar in price to lodgings.
Would I have my own kitchen facilities then?
No, you usually have to share. You could try looking through the local paper for a flat or a house share. Or why don't you try the accommodation office on your university?
I didn't know there was one.
Yes, and they might get you a room in the halls of residence with other students. You share a kitchen and washing facilities with the other students. Also, they may be able to offer you a list of other cheap accommodation in the area. That's your best option.
Thank you for your help.
Listening activity number 14. You are going to listen to a talk about Cambridge. First, look at the notes below and questions 8 to 11. As you listen, fill in the gaps and answer questions 8 to 11. Now listen to the talk.
Just 1 hour north of London lies the university city of Cambridge, which, for 700 years, has been one of the world's most important centres of learning. The academic vitality of the city and its sheer physical beauty combined to produce the perfect atmosphere in which to study. Like the other students here, you will enjoy privileges which are unique to the Cambridge way of life. During your free time, you might like to wander along the Bacts, the lawns which slope gently down to the River Cam, or try your hand at punting on the river itself. Equally relaxing is a cycle ride through the town centre. Here you can practice your English in the charming old marketplace, meet other students in a traditional English pub, or pay a visit to one of the city's world-renowned museums. Afterwards, if you are still feeling energetic, there are facilities for every kind of sport. Although London is only a short journey away, Cambridge will tempt you with entertainments of its own. You can watch Britain's finest actors and musicians in performance, see the latest films, or dine in one of Cambridge's excellent restaurants. In addition, the university's social functions provide the perfect chance to make new friends and improve your English at the same time.
Listening activity number 15. You are going to hear a talk about skunks. As you listen, fill in the gaps in the notes below and then indicate whether the following statements are true or false. Now listen to the talk.
If you ask people which animals they hate or fear the most, chances are you'll hear the following: skunks, bats, snakes, and rats. But some of these animals are gaining new respect. Most people fear the skunks because of their awful smell, for example. But recently, people have begun to rethink their ideas about skunks. Skunks are very useful animals, says animal researcher Cherry Briggs. They catch rats and mice and beetles. They're great for pest control. Skunks are very fair. They always warn you before they spray. They raise their tails and stamp their front feet. It's also good to know that you can spot a skunk before it sees you. We recognize the skunk by its white stripe. But skunks are very nearsighted and can't see more than 3 feet ahead. So if you pay attention to the skunk's warning signs and move away, you probably won't get sprayed. Most people would not be too pleased if a skunk moved in under their house, and here is some advice on how to get rid of the creatures. First of all, skunks hate rap music, so if you play loud rap music, skunks generally will move away from your house after a few hours. Also, they love cheese, especially cheddar. So you can just put some cheese a few feet away from your house. When the skunk leaves to get the cheese, block the holes so it can't get back in. But mostly, skunks just want to be left alone to do their work, which is pest control. Some people who get rid of skunks now actually want them back.
Listening activity number 16. You are going to hear a conversation between a new student and a former one. As you listen, fill the missing information in the notes below and then indicate whether the following statements are true or false. Now listen to the conversation.
The lecture was interesting. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, indeed I agree, but I wonder, are you new here?
Actually, yes. I'm a new student. I enrolled in the MA teaching program last week.
Oh, really? Well, I don't want to boast, but I was in this program only 2 years ago after my degree. I joined the staff of London University.
I see. Well, then you couldn't tell me something about this program, could you?
I'd be only too glad to. What do you want to know?
Well, what kind of assessment is there for this particular program? It's just that I haven't taken an exam for quite a long time, so I'm nervous about the course.
Oh, take it easy. There's no need to worry at all. I was nervous too when I first came here, until I found that the course assessment emphasizes essays and seminar papers. This helped me to gain confidence in my academic work before the final examinations.
How many papers are required before the finals?
5 essays and about 6 short papers. Something like that.
I see. That doesn't seem too bad. Did you enjoy the course?
Yes, very much. I greatly appreciate the year that I studied here. At first I thought the course would be very theoretical, but in fact it was very practical and relevant to the actual teaching. It proved to be of great assistance to me in my education career.
What about the teachers here?
Oh, they're very helpful. Throughout my time as a student, the academic staff here were always approachable, encouraging and supportive.
Well, that makes me feel much better.
I'm sure you'll like studying here. You know, all my time spent in this university was a very happy one. I made many good friends and thoroughly enjoyed the student life on campus. The lecturer today is one of my good friends here.
Oh, is she? Well, sorry, but I have got to leave now. I enjoyed talking with you. Thanks for your help.
It's been nice talking with you too. Good luck.
Listening activity number 17. You are going to listen to a doctor's talk. First, look at the following notes and questions 6 to 12. As you listen, complete the notes and answer the questions. Now, listen to the talk.
In Western countries, many people have fatty deposits on the inside wall of their arteries. These deposits build up over a number of years, narrowing the arteries. Sometimes the deposits can stimulate the formation of blood clots. If a clot breaks free, it can enter the circulation and sooner or later it will become trapped and block off a blood vessel, possibly causing a heart attack or a stroke. When researchers looked at the fatty deposits, they found they contained huge amounts of a substance called cholesterol. Everyone has cholesterol in their blood, although often the amounts detected in heart disease victims are much greater. So what is the link between what you eat and the cholesterol in your blood? The answer seems to be that the amount and type of fat in your diet are crucial in determining the cholesterol level in your blood. Food contains 2 main types of fat. They are called saturated and unsaturated fats. Saturated fats are the baddies, raising blood cholesterol level, while unsaturated fats, called polyunsaturated, will help to lower it. Polyunsaturated fats also contain lots of essential fatty acids like linoleic acid. As their name suggests, essential fatty acids are vital for health and cannot be made by the body. We should try to reduce the amount of saturated fat we eat and partially replace it with polyunsaturated fats. Polyunsaturated fats are naturally found in some nuts and seeds, like sunflower seeds, and in oily fish like mackerel. Margarine and oils which contain a high proportion of polyunsaturated fats are clearly labelled as such. Products which are high in polyunsaturated are also low in saturated fats.
Listening activity number 18. You're going to hear a talk about the city of Pompeii. As you listen, fill in the gaps in the notes below and then indicate whether the statements are true or false. Now, listen to the talk.
Today, many people who live in large metropolitan areas such as Paris and New York City leave the city in the summer. They go to the mountains or to the seashore to escape the city noise and heat. Over 2,000 years ago, many rich Romans did the same thing. They left the city of Rome in the summer. Many of these wealthy Romans spent their summers in the city of Pompeii. Pompeii was a beautiful city. It was located on the ocean, on the Bay of Naples. In the year 79 AD, a young Roman boy, who later became a very famous Roman historian, was visiting his uncle in Pompeii. The boy's name was Pliny the Younger. One day, Pliny was looking up at the sky when he saw a frightening sight. It was a very large dark cloud. This black cloud rose high into the sky. Rock and ash flew through the air. What Pliny saw was the eruption, the explosion, of the volcano Vesuvius. The city of Pompeii was at the foot of Mount Vesuvius. When the volcano first erupted, many people were able to flee the city and to escape death. In fact, 18,000 people escaped the terrible disaster. Unfortunately, there was not enough time for everyone to escape. More than 2,000 people died. These unlucky people were buried alive under the volcanic ash. The eruption lasted for about 3 days. When the eruption was over, Pompeii was buried under 20 feet of volcanic rock and ash. The city of Pompeii was buried and forgotten for 1,700 years. In the year 1748, an Italian farmer was digging on his farm. As he was digging, he uncovered a part of a wall of the ancient city of Pompeii. Soon, archaeologists began to excavate, to dig, in the area. As time went by, much of the ancient city of Pompeii was uncovered. Today, tourists come from all over the world to see the ruins of the famous city of Pompeii.